Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So good to be here this morning and so nice to see each and every one of you on this beautiful day. How many thank God for these good-looking musicians that we have over here, right? Thankful to the Lord for them, as well as the worship team, and they also are great-looking people as well. And we thank God for those upstairs. You guys don't get to see how good-looking they are because they're up there, but we thank you for all that you do. And I'm just thankful for our security team, our ushers who are here, the van drivers. Victor Reyes gets here early in the morning, makes sure the building is ready for all of us. So just so thankful for what God is doing in the midst of us. And there's so much that happens even before service begins. And we're thankful this morning the missions ministry was upstairs by 9 o'clock in the morning and they were having their meeting. And so it's nice to see how everybody is just doing their part and making sure that church is sharp. And we thank God for the Holy Spirit that finishes the work. How many say amen, right? So just thankful. I just want to make a couple of announcements. The first one is, it's come to my attention, like some of even our key leaders didn't know this, and I just want to inform the church publicly. Many of you use our Tithely app to give your offerings and your tithes, and you could also give to missions there and other ministries. And in the Tithely app, just like all credit card charges and companies, there's always a charge. It's close to 3%, 2.7, 2.8, 2.9, depending what you use. But with our Tithely app, if you put in your checking account, routing number and checking account, it's only a 1% charge. So I've mentioned that before, but some may not know that. So I want to just remind the church again, whether you cover your fees or the church covers your fees, if you use the Tithely app and you put in your checking account information, it's only a 1% fee in over a year. That would probably be a decent amount of money. So just wanted to inform anybody who is not aware of that. And I just wanted also to remind church, we're on our summer schedule Friday nights. We don't have active ministry in the building, but I know that ministries are active and doing a great work. This Friday, Young Adults Ministry got together with Pastor Minor, Sister Jasenia, and they're relaunching the Young Adult Ministry, and I know it was wonderful and successful. If you are here between the ages of 21 and 35 and you're not active in the Young Adult Ministry, before you leave here, you want to see Pastor Minor and say, hey, how can I get connected to this ministry? Amen. And I know Men's Ministry and Women's Ministry and Outbreak also got together last Friday, and they were celebrating all those young people that graduated high school. And I believe, if Pastor Robert can remind me, we have 14 young people that graduated high school this year, which is pretty cool. So we're thankful to the Lord for that. And he took them out to a 5-star restaurant and treated them well. Pastor Robert, he's got deep pockets, man. So we're thankful for him. Thankful for him. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning and let's get into the teaching of the word. The teaching of the word is found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. The key verse is verse 6. And this is a life verse for me. It's a life verse for me. You've heard me speak on this verse before. And you also heard me quote this verse on many occasions. Even in time of prayer, we quote this verse. I believe that it's a key verse for me that reminds me of the continual work that God is doing in my life. I hope that it will remind you this morning of the work that God is doing in your life as well. Our theme this morning is God at work in us. God at work in us. Next Sunday, we have visiting us one of our missionaries that we support, Roger Holland. He's going to be speaking next week, and he's got a great way of encouraging the church and also updating us on the missions work that he's been doing. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Our theme this morning is God at work in us. I thank my God every time I remember you. Verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. Verse 6, again, be confident of this. Be sure of this. Another version says, be persuaded of this. In other words, that your mind would be consumed with this, with this thought, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. We pray that it would land in our hearts, that our Sunday would change our Monday, that it would be an applicable word for us, O Lord, that it would be a word that would resonate with us, Lord God, that it would be a word that would remind us of the work that you're doing within us, that it would challenge us, Lord, to allow you to continue to refine and sharpen us, Lord, that it would be a word, Lord God, that will move our hearts to allow your Holy Spirit to expose the things within us that need to be exposed and help us to commit to living the life that you have called us to live. So we thank you for your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God at work in us. From the moment that you give your hearts to the Lord, I've always mentioned this. I often mention this because I think that it's important for us to be reminded that at that moment we are sealed with the Spirit of God. We are sealed by the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit of God. That God is with us from the moment that we give our heart to the Lord. From the moment that we ask Jesus into our lives, something supernatural happens. God becomes a part of every aspect of who we are. He begins to reside within our hearts, and His Holy Spirit begins to do a transforming work within us. There is a false teaching that God created all things and then set them in motion and let them go on their own. It's called deism. And it says that God is not involved in man's life, and that God is not involved in creation, and that God is not involved in our day-to-day things. No, he lets things go and he sees what man will do with the free will that man has been given. Well, that's not so. God is involved in us. Yes, with us. Yes, we have free will, but in the midst of our free will, God is leading us and helping us to make good decisions in our lives. From the moment that we have given our lives to the Lord, it's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus resides within our hearts. And at that moment, we are sanctified. We are sanctified to the point where the Holy Father, where God Himself can look upon us. And when He looks upon us, He sees His only Son, Jesus Christ, who is holy and perfect and resides within us. So because Christ lives within us, at that very moment, we are sanctified. And that's what we call positional sanctification. That God can look at us, that the Holy Father can look at us and have a relationship with us through His only Son, who is now our Savior, Jesus Christ. And because Jesus resides within us, at that moment, we have been sanctified. How many say amen? Amen. That's why when we pray to the Father in the name of the Son, because Jesus is the key that opens up the door where we can have a relationship with the Father. Because of Christ in us, we are holy, we are sanctified, and it gives us a position of sanctification and allows us to go into the presence of the Lord. This won't always be our state. One day we will be ultimately sanctified, completely sanctified. And that is the day that we are in the presence of the Lord. That is the day where either our time on earth has expired or the church has been raised up and we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord face to face, and we will have ultimate sanctification. That means we will have no sin, perfect state, and it will be because we have been redeemed. This complete redemption for us done through Jesus Christ. But while we're on earth, we also have progressive sanctification. That means that there's something that's happening in our way of living. It's something that's happening in who we are. That we are constantly changing. We're constantly becoming someone that God has called us to become. There is a work that's happening within us that only a holy God can do. And He's doing that every single day. And that is God at work in us. How many know that we're not who we used to be? We're not who we used to be. When we look at our lives, we see that there is a difference. And that's because God is at work in us. If you leave us to ourselves, we would be lost in that state of sin and in that state of shame that we once were found in. But the moment we gave our hearts to the Lord, something happened. And today, we're not who we used to be. And I have even better news for you this morning. You're not even who you're set to be yet. You're not in your complete potential yet. God has set up a potential for us that we are not there yet, but we are in this process because God is at work in us. So we're happy we're not who we used to be, and we're excited about what God is doing in us and where he's taking us to be. So we live with this understanding, and I love the way the Apostle Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. I think that these are key verses for us where he says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Verse 13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act to his good purpose." So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because God is at work in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. Continue to work out your salvation. Don't give up because God is at work in you, in me. How many say amen? Paul reaffirms this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, where he says, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. So God's work is at work in us. Those who have believed, God is doing something in us. And some would ask, what is God doing? God is at work in us. What is the purpose? What is the purpose? I can mention a few things quickly, right? One, to bring us closer to his will for our lives, right? God is at work in us because he wants us to live out this will that he has for us. This will, right? We have free will, but in the midst of our free will, God's got like this perfect, or I should say this better journey for us. He's got this better path for us in the midst of our free will. And his spirit leads us every day to try to take the better path. And when we do things according to our carnal nature, according to the sinful nature, we find ourselves in a path that's not as fruitful and successful. But when we really allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, he takes us in his will for our lives, right? Why else is God at work in us? To liberate us from sin and things that have us bound. So God is at work in us because he wants to liberate us from the things that have us bound. He wants to liberate us from sin. He wants to liberate us from the things that entangle us. He wants to liberate us from the things that control our minds and our emotions. He wants to liberate us from our sinful ways and our weaknesses. And he wants us to become strong in the midst of our weaknesses through his presence in our lives. Why is God at work in us? To lead us in service. To lead us on how he can use us. Remember, each and every one of us, I've said this in the message 2 weeks ago. What is our ultimate call, right? Our ultimate call. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Each and every one of us have it. We are all evangelists for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pentecost has everything to do with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? The gifts of the Spirit have everything to do with the edification of the church, the growth of the body of Christ. And God is doing a work in us. Why? So that we can serve him most successfully. Most successfully. God is doing a work in us. Why? Because he's preparing us for his coming. We are those that believe that one day the church will rise. The dead in Christ first and those who are alive. The trumpet will sound and the church will be lifted up. We are those that believe that. I know it sounds a little strange to those who have no history in this, but the Bible affirms it. And the Bible will not pass away. God's word will not pass away. This world will, but not God's word. And because God's word says it, the church affirms it. And the church says, amen. I don't know if we're the last generation or not. Many say that we are, but every generation after Jesus has thought that they were the last generation. So I hope that we are. Some people say that we are. Some very smart people say that we are. I don't know if we are or not. So I want to live this life, and I've said this before. I want to live this life like if Jesus is going to come today. Right? But, I want to live this life like if Jesus is not going to come in my lifetime. How awesome would it be to be a soldier of the kingdom of God all the days of my life? How awesome would it be to be one who believes in the ministry of reconciliation every day of my life? How awesome would it be to live into your 90s if the Lord would will that, with a sound mind and energy, and to always be a soldier for God's kingdom? How beautiful would that be? Because the promise of eternity is regardless if we live one day or 99 years on this earth. So how awesome would it be to live every day of our lives for Jesus? See, God at work in us is preparing us even for that day. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He talks about the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit. I've mentioned this before, the diakonia. The ministry, it's the Spirit of God that is ministering within us, right? It's working within us. It's what the Holy Spirit does. He works within us to help us. And I love that in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians verse 1, he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, what ministry? The ministry of the Spirit of God, we do not lose heart. Because we have the Spirit of God within us, the ministering of the Spirit, the diakonia. Verse 1 tells us we do not lose heart. In other words, we can be everything that God has called us to be. We can live the life that God has called us to live. Why? Verse 2 says, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Why? Because we have the ministering Spirit of God working within us. I just want to remind you today that you and I, we can be successful because we have the ministry of the Spirit of God that is working within us. God's triune, the triune God dwelling within us, working and helping us. And because of that, we can be everything that God has called us to be. And the church says, and I can mention so many people in the Bible, remind you of how God worked through them progressively. We talk about Moses, 120 years of life, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years working for his father-in-law Jethro, 40 years leading the people of Israel. It was a progressive work in his life. He wasn't ready those first 40 years. Even during his 40 years with his father-in-law, it was a time of change, a time of renewing his mind. When he was in Egypt, he thought he was a prince and he could liberate the Israelites by his own hand, by his own power. He ends up even killing an Egyptian. Why? Because he thought that he was enough to do it. And God has to send him through a progress in his life of 40 years working for his father-in-law, change his mindset from a prince to a shepherd until he was ready to lead God's people for 40 years. We can talk about so many different stories in Scripture on how Jesus discipled for 3.5 years, teaching them his ways. Why? Because nobody starts off ready to go. No one starts off ready to go. I always get concerned of those who come in and they're the first year, they're preaching at every evangelistic event. Those who rise up high and the falling quickly. There's something about allowing God to do a work in you. That's why when you look at those who've been in the gospel for a long time and have allowed the work of God really to dwell in them, there is this wisdom of them. There is this peace within them, regardless of hardships and trials in life. Why? Because they have come to know God at work in their lives. And the church says, that's why we must speak like the psalmist speaks. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my enemies. Teach me your ways. How many of us in our prayer time tell the Lord, Lord, have your way with me. Speak into my heart. Reveal to me the things in my life that are not pleasing to you. Because sometimes we're just about asking. But how awesome it is to tell the Lord, Lord, reveal to me the things in my life that are not pleasing to you. You're at work in me. I love what the prophet Isaiah says, where he says, but now, O Lord, you are the Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, and all we are the work of your hands. Oh, isn't that awesome? All we are is what you're forming us to be. All we are is what your spirit is dealing within us. That's all that we are. The Bible reminds us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Something is happening in each and every one of us. God is at work in us. And the church says, once we give our hearts to God, he begins this beautiful process, this beautiful work. He begins to do these beautiful things in our lives. We must allow God to do that. Not resist his work, but allow him to do what he wants to do in our lives. So looking at our theme verse today, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In our long intro this morning, we reminded you through scripture that God is doing this work in us. That is God. Looking at our verse, three observations I want to remind you this morning briefly. The first one is, be confident that God is doing a work in you. Be confident of this. From the moment you gave your heart to the Lord till today, be confident that God is doing a work in you. From a personal perspective, be sure of this. And someone would say, well, how can I really be sure that God is doing a work in me? Ask yourself this question. Am I the same person I was the day I gave my heart to the Lord? If your answer to that is, no, I'm not the same person, then God is doing a work in you. Because on your own, you would never be able to do it. You know, do you remember when you were in the world and the things that you did and how you lived? And you no longer live by that standard? No one. Remember when you were in the world, no one could say anything to you. You knew it all. You were right all the time. In the world, you held grudges. In the world, you hurt people for gain. You didn't care what others thought. Because in the world, you lived for yourself, for your flesh. You lived with no accountability, carefree, and you did what you wanted. So this is how you can be sure that God is at work in you, because that's not who you are anymore. We may be tempted at times to live that way, but we overcome the temptation and we don't allow that. Why? Because we know God has changed something in us. I ask you today, are you the same person that you was a year ago? I hope that the answer would be no. Why? Because God has changed you. He's changing me. I could even tell you things in my own personal life where I recognize, I said, God, I don't think that way no more. And I don't suffer with that weakness no more. And I don't struggle with that mentality no more. And it's because the Lord speaks into our hearts and tells us, well, I've been working in you. And thank God you're starting to let these things go. Sometimes we're so hard-headed. And we're constantly struggling with the same weakness. With the same temptation. With the same insecurity. And God is telling us, hey, let that go so that I can take you into the next thing that I want to do in your life. Right? Do we feel conviction when we do something wrong? You know, we're asking the question, how can I be sure that God is at work in us? Are we changing? Are we submitting to God? Right? Do we feel conviction when we do something wrong? We feel bad. Well, just because we fail, that doesn't mean that God is not at work in us. Just because we gave in to temptation on this one situation or this one occurrence or this two occurrences, it doesn't mean that God is not at work in us. In fact, the mere fact that you feel conviction for the very wrong that you did shows that God is at work in you. And he's helping us and telling us, stop doing that. It's not the great journey, the best journey I have for you. Stop doing that. Have you ever asked God, God, help me to make some changes in my life? The mere fact that you asked that question shows that God is at work in you. As the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. And the church says, from a theological perspective, how can I be sure that God is at work in us? Well, did God save us to abandon us? Did he give his only begotten son for our salvation and then just set us free and leave us alone? No, but he has saved us to allow us to enjoy complete sanctification. He saved us so that we would have communion with him. He saved us so that we would serve him wholeheartedly. So God saved us so that we would not fail. God saved us so that we would enjoy life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I've come that you would have life and have it to the full. He saved us to change us so that we could enjoy the very thing that he has for us. So today, be confident of this, that God is at work in you. And the church says, amen. The second thing, be confident that God is doing a good work in you. It's a good work that God is doing. Everything that God does is good. Look at creation. Creation is good. Look at man and how man works. It's good. Look at the redemptive plan for humanity. It's a good plan. God won't fail. God won't fail what he's doing in your life. Everything that God plans, he plans it to perfection. And God is doing a good work in each and every one of us. And the work that God is doing, it will not fail if we trust it, if we submit to it. If we give it rein in our lives, it's a good work, and everything that God does works. It's for good. And some would say, well, what would be a good work within us? What does that look like? What does a good work look like? I know he's doing a good work. I know he's changing. But what does a good work look like? Well, good work looks like completely free from habitual sin. You see, all of us are going to fail each and every day. I could tell you, maybe not each and every day, but all of us are going to fail throughout life. And I could tell you of mistakes I've made. I hate it when I make mistakes. I hate it when I say things I shouldn't say. I hate it when I react in a way that I shouldn't react. I hate it when I respond to my children in a way that I shouldn't respond, or to my wife in a way that I shouldn't respond, or to those that I work with and I wasn't wise with them. I hate when that happens to me. And it happens to all of us because we live in this world of sin, right? In this fallen world. So all of us, but what God is looking to do, a good work, is to free us from habitual sin. A habitual sin. So maybe some of us are dealing with habitual sin. Maybe some of us are dealing with some types of addictions, right? Maybe some of us are dealing with constantly lying. Do you know that some people just lie all the time? Some cheat all the time. Some steal all the time. Some hurt all the time. Some deal with sexual immoralities, right? Habitual sin, and the list is long. Gambling could be thrown in there. Habitual sin, right? So things that control our actions. We're no longer bearing the fruit of the Spirit, right? But things that are controlling our actions. And the good work that God wants to do in our life is free us from all habitual sin. That would be the good work that God wants to do in our life. And the church says, what's the good work that God wants to do in our life? He wants us to be in peace with him. It bothers me and concerns me when people are like, am I saved? Am I not saved? Well, God's good work in your life is that you would be in peace with God. To know that he has saved you to bring peace into your life with God. To know that in all seasons of your life, the sovereignty of God rules, and he's leading you and guiding you. And just because you may be battling something, or whether sickness, whether financial hardship, whether relational things in your life, that doesn't mean that you don't have peace still with God. To know the good work that God is doing in your life, understands that in his sovereignty, he allows for struggles and he allows for hardships and he allows hard times. And that does not mean that we still don't have peace with God. And a good work in us is to remind us we always have peace with God. A good work within us is our commitment to serve God's kingdom. That's the good work that God wants to do in our life. I think there's many of us, I talk for ECC and I also talk for the church in Christ, that we enjoy church, but we're not serving. And I think that if you're a member of Elohim Christian Church, I've said this before, you need to be active in at least one ministry in your life, in the church. At least one ministry. If you're a member of another church, you need to be active in your church. Serving somehow, each and every one of us, a call to serve. And that's the good work that God has called us for. So he's working out some things within our lives. And as he works those things out in our lives, he's looking, well, how can we show a spirit of gratitude? We show gratitude by service. And the church says, a good work is living in peace with all people. God is doing a work in you. Why? What's the good work? So that you can be in peace with all people. If you find yourself constantly in conflict with others, there's a problem there. If you find yourself in conflict at work, at school, at church, with your family, with your neighbor, what's the common denominator there? So we need to know, you know, it can't be everybody. The good work in your life is to be at peace with those around you. And the church says, the good work of God in your life is to bear fruit of the Spirit at all times. Galatians 5:22 reminds us of the fruit of the Spirit, right? The spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the good work that God is doing in your life, that you would bear the fruit of the Spirit in all circumstances. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the good work that he's doing. You notice that the good work is not to preach really nicely or to sing really good. That's not the good work. The good work is not to do something really well. The good work is that wherever you go, you resemble Christ in your life. That's the good work that God wants to do within us. And I want to tell you that this good work does not come easy. See, we know that God is at work in us. And we're talking about that he's doing a good work. But this good work, it's easier to preach than to live. It's not easy. You know, when God is doing something good in us, man, it hurts. It hurts, man. The Bible teaches us, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Man, the Lord disciplines us when we're not doing good, and he works that in us. Because it's a good work, and sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to know that when he is forming who he wants to form in our lives, that does not come easy. It's not easy to forgive. It's not easy to bless somebody that has hurt you. It hurts sometimes to live the life that God wants us to live, but he's doing a work in us, and it's a good work within us. It doesn't come easy. And at times, we don't even understand it. We don't understand it. We don't understand why God is doing it and why God is allowing, right? You remember Job, that great story? Well, Job wasn't perfect. And God allowed a lot of hardships in his life. And he didn't understand why. He thought he was just this perfect, righteous man that did no wrong. And that was the very thing that God was trying to show him. You're not so perfect, Job. And the interesting thing is that Job never gets God's answer at the end. When he asks why, he never gets the answer. The Apostle Paul, 3 times, he's asked for healing, and God says no. He doesn't understand what God is doing in his life. And I want to tell you that the good work that God is doing in us, we may not like it. We may not like that he asks us to forgive people. We may not like that he asks us to bless people. We may not like that he asks us to help people we don't want to help. We may not like that he's challenging us and asking us to do more than what we thought that we can do. We may not like the things that God is doing, but that's how he gets the good work out of us. And the church says, the third thing that we can learn from this verse is, be confident that God will take you through the whole process. I love that it says to the day of Jesus Christ, right? It says to the, in other words, until the end time, until the end. God, be confident that God will take you through the whole process, all the days of your life. And I love that Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you when he speaks to the disciples. This also means that you will always be in the process, always. You will always be in this place of changing, at work in you. You'll always be in this. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the gospel. God is doing a work in you. It don't matter how much education you have. God is doing a work in you. It doesn't matter how gifted you may believe that you are, God is doing a work in you. It doesn't matter how many credentials you have or titles before your name, God is doing a work in you. The process will only be completed on the day we find ourselves before the presence of God, ultimate sanctification. So I want to remind you today that He'll take you through the whole process. Just last week I was in a time of prayer, and in my time of prayer, man, the Lord just revealed something in my heart. Just a word that I said that I goofed up. It wasn't my wisest word. It wasn't the smartest thing I could say. It wasn't my best choice. And I remember just feeling guilty for not being as wise as I could have been. And I said, Lord, help me. Help me not to. Help me to be wiser. Help me to see this before it happens. And I share that story to share, it don't matter where we are or who we've been or what we're going through in life, God is with us and He's working something out in each and every one of us. I hope that this also helps you understand why we still fail at times. Because sometimes people, they leave the gospel because they think that they cannot live up to the mark. They leave the gospel because they think that they're not good enough. So they're like, you know, I can't do this. One of the saddest things many years ago, my brother may remember this. My brother and I were in Puerto Rico, and this was many years ago. And this young girl, my mom saw her in the street. My mom pulled up next to her, and my mom approached her and said, "Hey, I haven't seen you in church recently." And her response to my mom in Spanish was, "Yo no sirvo para ser pentecostal." She said, I'm not good to be Pentecostal, she said. And of course, she had it all wrong. Her standard was all wrong. Her, you know, what she thought the gospel was all wrong. But what impacted me was that she was trying to live up to a measure. And because she couldn't live up to that measure, she thought that she wasn't worthy enough or good enough. And a lot of times, people leave the gospel because they feel like, I can't live up to the measure. Now, this is not a license to sin. But this is a reminder to us that God is at work in all of us. And that means that we're all going to drop the ball every so often. We're all going to make a mistake every so often. And it reminds us of our imperfect state and the perfection of God within us. And it draws us and it should challenge us to say, I want to do better. I want to remind you this morning as I conclude our sermon today. I want to remind you. And I want to encourage you today not to give up on what God is doing in your life. Don't give up on it. Allow the work of the Holy Spirit. God sees the potential in you and He knows that you can. God sees the work in you and He knows that you have been called and ordained for success. And He has made the investment of His own presence into our lives to help us overcome, to help us be victorious. Let us not become so religious that we forget the spiritual work that is happening within us, but let us be challenged and excited to know that God sees something worthy within us and He's making the investment. And He doesn't see us just for today, but He sees what He's called us to be and how He's called us to live. So God is at working in us, within us today. Why? Like I said earlier, to help us be more the person He's calling us to be. Because a more mature you will be more powerful in the hands of God. A more mature you will be a powerful instrument in the hands of God. A more refined you will be able to impact your community, your family, and those around you. A more refined you will give more glory to the Father, more glory to God's will. A more refined you could impact all those around you. You will be a more powerful tool in the hands of God. So He works in us. He moves within us. He's changing things. He's exposing things. He's releasing us from things because He knows that you in a mature state, in a refined state, can give glory to the Father and can be an instrument that moves the kingdom of God forward. So believe in the work that God is doing in your life.
Trust it. Submit to it. Change forever so that you can see God's glory being manifested through this broken vessel. God's glory being manifested. And at the end of it all, we can only remember where we were. At the end of it, we can only remember where we were. Because if God is to use us in any miraculous way, we can't take no glory for that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And it's taking time, progressively working, progressively changing, progressively moving, progressively doing this. And for some of us, it's taking years. And at the end of it all, we're getting it. We're learning. And God is using us for the glory of the Father. He's using us for the glory of the Father. Blessing people for the glory of the Father. Right? So we would be instruments, powerful for the kingdom of God. So today I remind you, God is at work in you. Be confident of this. Be persuaded of this. Be persuaded that God is at work in you. Be sure that what God is doing is a good work. And be sure that He will take you through the whole process. And the church says, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want to invite you to stand so we can pray together. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. For it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It leads us every single day. Help us, Lord. Help us to embrace it. Help us, Lord God, to make it ours. Father, as you have spoken into our hearts this morning, I pray, Lord God, that your word would resonate within us. That it would lead us and guide us every day. That our Sunday would change our Monday, Lord. That we would wake up, Lord, meditating on your word. That we would understand, God, that we're not in the perfect state. But that we would not make that an excuse not to allow you to do what you want to do in our lives, oh Lord. Father, help us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to remember to apply. Father, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. That they would know, God, that you want to do something in their lives that they never ever imagined. That today is the day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this next song, the altar is open. If you're here, Word of God has ministered to you in a special way and you would like prayer, as we sing this next song, we invite you to come to the altar. We want to pray with you. And if you don't know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. There is a potential within you that you are unaware of, and it's only through the working of the Holy Spirit in your life that you will be able to live the life that God has called you to live. And that happens once you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today is the day of salvation. If you need to reconcile to the Lord, today is the day of reconciliation. Don't leave the way that you came in. Leave transformed and changed. I promise you that your future days will be better than your past days. God bless you and God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.